I was inspired for this morning's sermon because we have a team going to Guatemala in about a month, a little more. Marnie is going to go with a few families from Spirit of Joy with our ministry partner Sharing the Dream in Guatemala. Mary, do you have tickets with you today? Excellent. If you want to join me in helping support this nonprofit next week, I'm going to go to lunch with Krista and other family and others here in town. Mary has tickets for that. I promise you the food will be wonderful, and you'll have an opportunity to support the work that they're doing if you want to make that happen. So see Mary if you want to learn more. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our risen Savior, and the Holy Spirit who blows among and through us this day. Amen. Father Greg Schaefer was born in St. Paul. He went to St. Thomas University and St. Paul Seminary. And then he served his first congregation in New Ulm, Minnesota. It was at a pastor's conference when he was 29 that after dinner had concluded, the bishop stood and said, "Tomorrow morning, one of you will be going to Guatemala. I'm curious which of you it will be," and walked out of the room. The men who were gathered there looked at each other and wondered what exactly that meant, and of course it exploded in conversation. "One of us is going from Guatemala. We're Minnesotan priests." And so when they came in the next morning, they came in silence. And it might have been reverent, but it was laced with fear and uncertainty. And after the plates were filled, the bishop stood and did not pray, but instead said, "So, who will it be?" 40 years later, Father Greg said to me, "I don't remember standing up. What I remember is people looking at me and realizing I was standing up." 2 years later, when he came back to visit his family, it was his father who said, "Greg will never come back. He has found his home." He did the things that he was supposed to do. A wonderful pastor. He grew a community, 150,000 people across 22 communities in the region. He worked with his colleagues, and when I was there in 4 Sundays, he baptized more than 100 little ones. 4 Sundays, 100 little ones. He also did the work of justice and peace. In the 1960s, that looked like schools. Education for people who otherwise had no access to it. Today, there are 600 elementary age students who are educated through the mission that is there in San Lucas Toliman in Guatemala. They are taught by native Guatemalans and assisted by Americans and missionary workers as they are there. And then came healthcare. It started with a very simple clinic. Today there's a hospital, a basic general clinic, a pediatric clinic, vision and dental services, all of that wrapped into the community's healthcare, all at no cost to the residents of the diocese. But then he did something that at the time was pretty radical. In the 1970s, he realized that all of the people who were doing the back-breaking labor of making coffee that you and I drink, lots of, they were living off of $150, $200 a year. And so he began one of the world's first fair trade markets, and Café Juan Ana has been sold and is still sold today to help people rise out of poverty and to live and earn a fair wage. They developed fund systems. That bottom right picture is really a technologically advanced system given their access to power and all of that, and created jobs. As they did that, they realized that there were then still those who didn't have homes, or were living in old-style native huts and other things. And they started with the brick construction. That's what I did for most of 4 weeks there with them, laying concrete block on top of each other, pouring more concrete in it with rebar and tying them all together. Over the years, they developed this hybrid model that is concrete block on the bottom with stucco on it, and quite beautiful and fits into the architecture of the world. And then when they can, the simplest and most efficient way is to pour a slab and to build a standard wooden home on it. Over the years, they have put the roofs over the heads of something like 8,000 individuals across that region. And then in the 90s, he did another very progressive and forward-looking thing. He said, you know, we should probably take care of the most vulnerable among us. And he began building a women's center. It started just with that picture on the left, an open-air laundry facility, tubs that women could gather. And it was supposed to be attached to a soccer field. I tried to clear some soccer field. About 3 days' time, my hands were hamburger, swinging a machete and doing that work. But from there grew a women's center where there is training, job training, skills, all sorts of education, and indeed certification for these women to be able to lift themselves up and to be able to create a way forward for themselves. Father Greg died in 2012. By the time that he died, he had multiple honorary doctorates from schools here in the United States. He had received the Distinguished Alumnus Award from both his college and his seminary. And at the end of his life, he received the Order of Quetzal, which in Guatemala is the highest civilian honor available to anyone. But the ministry did not stop. Friends of his tied into Minnesota, they continued to develop and to grow specific targeted charity within the region that works with dignity and respect, the tradition of health care and women's care, education, construction, and coffee. And they instituted an opportunity to travel intentionally, to learn, to immerse, not just to go there and serve, but to get to know people and develop relationships that might be life-changing. Over the years, they have turned that into a multi-million dollar a year ministry, impacting those 150,000 lives across the region. Today, Father Schaefer has been nominated, I don't know the Catholic language, I'm sorry for it, for canonization. His name put forward to be considered as one of those who are the holy ones of God. What we heard this morning was Peter's sermon on Pentecost, the second half of it. And it has a couple of strange details in it. The first is the word that he uses to describe Jesus. It's the Greek version of the Hebrew Adonai, which is to say king or master or emperor, ruler. It points to God's sovereignty over all that was and is to come. And using it hinted throughout his speech that Jesus perhaps was there in opposition to Rome. But it was the final quotation that we heard this morning that makes it absolutely clear. You see, as he's doing the work of pointing back and saying, all the way throughout Scripture, if you remember the road to Emmaus, Jesus was the one we anticipated. We just didn't know it. But the crumbs were there, the trail and the intentionality. He ends up with a quote from David. It's Psalm 110. And Psalm 110 is a coronation psalm. That is, it would be read at the seating of a king. And so Peter, at that point, takes all confusion or possibility out of the equation and says, guess what? This one, Jesus, who you all crucified, he is the king. The king that is the anti-emperor. And in doing that, he points backward again to Jesus' own ministry as witnesses what that might look like. He said, on that morning of Pentecost, 9 in the morning, remember, what Jesus did from the beginning, his own words, taking that scroll at his home synagogue in the beginning of Luke, was to proclaim a world being turned right side up, where the blind would see, the lame would walk, those without hope would be given some. That is the mission that Jesus was on the entirety of his walking through his life. Witness the woman with a bleed. Witness the man born blind. Witness Lazarus dead in the tomb, walking out alive. And then he did something at the very end. Having done those two pieces, the people around him said, "What do we need to do, Peter?" And he said, the mission of Jesus did not end as he ascended. But instead, today, you and I are called to that same mission. We each and every one are part of the expansion and the growth, the future that is the good news of God made alive across the whole of the world. On that day of Pentecost, Peter declared that this kingdom in which we live is upside down, and that Jesus has shown us what it would be to be turned right side up. And he has invited us who have ears to hear to listen and to join in, to walk with him and the apostles, with the founder of our faith, who is Jesus the Christ, to declare him king, and together to bring about his kingdom. Amen.